Listen to every episode of Stokely and Zach on demand at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. There's no business like your business. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank, banking for good. Member FDIC.
Here's Lindsay, a wide open piece of real estate. Lindsay, showing the wheels, and he will score. A 65-yard sprint, and Lindsay was just about untouched.
Now we are here. Don't have to think about it, right here, right now. And that was the sound of Philip Lindsay touchdown this past weekend. He has absolutely lit the fan base on fire. But I have a simple question. What you got? Is Philip Lindsay the youngest, hottest star in Denver sports? Or does that belong to someone by the name of
who?
Nathan McKinnon? Gabe Landeskog? Nikola Jokic?
Anybody else? You got anybody else? What?
Sure.
What else?
Kyle Freeland.
Okay.
Bradley Chubb.
Okay, keep going. I'm just trying to get it all the information in, then I'll make my decision. That's where we're at right now. Who else do we have?
Marquez? Herman Marquez, yes.
I mean, he's the one that had, how many strikeouts in the first, whatever it was, consecutive strikeouts?
Unbelievable.
Eight or something like that, and then the pitcher ruined it?
Right.
Wasn't that Marquez?
Yep.
Yeah.
Sure was.
Double-digit
strikeouts in, like, four of his last five starts.
Now, would Nolan be, Nolan's too old?
I think he...
What's the threshold here? Is he too old?
I don't think he'd qualify. He's
How
not too old,
is...
but he's too old for this conversation.
Oh, okay.
I mean, Nolan Arenado has... This is going to be, his seventh year? Seventh year in the bigs, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, he's out.
He's out. But I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. Philip Lindsay is the answer unequivocally, right? That's what you're going to tell me?
Ding, 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 ding. Yes.
Okay.
He plays for the Denver Broncos, and he went to high school here, grew up here, and went to college here, and now he is playing for the Denver Broncos, and he is playing at a high, high level. He's got a great story. Everything that goes along with his story is awesome, and then he goes out there and he delivers on the football field. So he is the answer by far
now. And that's why I use the word unequivocally, because you can't rationally argue that somebody else is more popular right now in this city, in this state. It is Philip Lindsay. Because anytime there's a tiebreaker or something's close, it's going to go to the Denver Bronco. But I tell you what, this town, this state is in a great spot. Not a good spot, a great spot here moving forward. And you don't have to look further than last night. The Denver Nuggets, the number one team in the Western Conference, going to Toronto, where the Raptors had won eight consecutive games. They have Kawhi Leonard. They are the best team in basketball as it currently stands. And the Nuggets go in there, get a double-digit lead, give it back in the games that they always lose or seem to. And there they were in the center of the ring, trading blows with another heavyweight that may well represent the East in the NBA Finals this year. And the Nuggets get it done.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it, Drake.
Hell yeah!
To go on the road and do it. That to me is really, really impressive. So you look at, you know, how they started the season. And then they had, you know, a speed bump there, right, where they really struggled. And then they've going back in the right direction and go on the road to Toronto and win a game against a really good opponent. Look, I mean, they're playing better than I think anybody could have expected right now.
Agreed.
Kudos. Hopefully they can keep it up and keep it going. But they have taken a major, major step forward.
And that attention that a lot of folks wanted around town from the national media, well, you got it. Because you're on SportsCenter, ESPN's tweeting it out, you're on the front page of NBA.com. I mean, here you are. That was a breakthrough win last night, Stoke. That was a breakthrough win for this basketball team. They are now 16-7, number one in the West. It just looks crazy. You pull up the standings and to see the Nuggets right at the tippy top of the West. And let me take it one step further. You know who's in the 2 seed in the West? Clippers. Nuggets beat them. 3 seed, Thunder. Nuggets beat them. 4 seed, Warriors. Nuggets have already beat them. 5th seed, Lakers. Nuggets have already beat them.
Is this the win last night? Does that trump the Warriors win
absolutely
early in the season?
Really? Absolutely. Yep. There's no doubt. I know on conventional.
Why?
Because, one, the Warriors was here in town.
Okay.
Two, the Warriors are a team that the Nuggets have consistently beaten. In fact, in the last 3 seasons, nobody's beaten the Warriors as many times as the Nuggets. Now, the Raptors, they've owned the Nuggets. The Raptors have owned the Nuggets over the last 3.5 seasons, 4 seasons. They've rocked the Nuggets. I think 2 total wins for the Nuggets in the last 3 seasons against the Raptors. And the other reason is that the Warriors are 16-19. The Raptors went into last night's game at 20-4. They're just playing better basketball. The Warriors are not the version of themselves yet this season. I'm sure they'll get there. But it ain't peaches and cream over there, dude. There is, like many dynasties, especially in hoops, you are seeing the level of connectivity with them start to be frayed.
I think they get it figured out, though. They're just too good,
they will.
Right?
I'm sure they
I mean,
will.
You know, you just think that come playoff time, no matter what their seed if it is, if it's 3, if it's 4, it's probably not going to really matter for them. That's just the way I view the Warriors. Once they get Steph back and he's healthy and he's not missing games and they get all those guys on the floor together, they'll figure out a way to put, you know, any beef behind them and try to win one more championship, and then after the season is probably going to get blown up to a certain degree. Bigger than the Thunder win?
Yes.
On the road?
Yes. Yes. Thunder, good basketball team. Thunder, really good basketball team. But this was different. This was different. The Raptors had been playing lights out to the point where, I mean, the Raptors had won 8 consecutive games. And in the midst there, beat teams like the Warriors. So for me, because of how it happened, because of where it happened, I think it's the most signature win for the Denver Nuggets in a handful of years. I really do.
Handful of years?
Handful of years. I do. I
wow.
do. I think it was a statement win. I really believe so. And I think that the way that it happened, when things mattered most, Kawhi Leonard hits a big shot, you're down. All right, there's just seconds left. And there was a pick and roll, Jokic finishing with a floater from about 7 feet out. And it was the first time that I can remember in a game that felt like that, because it felt like a playoff game. I mean, it was a Monday night, complete sellout. Complete sellout. It had the atmosphere of a playoff game. It wasn't a playoff game, so I don't want to get carried away. But I want to say, for a regular season, in a game that felt like that, who they played, where they played, for Jokic to come through the way that he did and put the cherry on top of a triple-double and to have 15 assists, here's something to put in your pipe and smoke, Drake. Here's something to put in your pipe. Fire this up. In the last 20 seasons, there's been 3 games where a center has registered 15 assists in the last 20 NBA seasons. They're all Nikola Jokic. Think about what I just said. That is crazy.
And oh, so are you ready to put him into the franchise category? I mean, you've been hesitant, right?
Very.
I'm safe to say that. Are you starting to come around to starting to put him into that kind of category?
He's forcing me to.
You still need to see a little bit more?
100%.
Okay.
Because it's still the December 5th or whatever it is today. So I still want to see more, but I tell you what, I like the way this is trending. Really do. I'm excited about it. And so should everyone. So should everyone in town, along with the Avs, who are rolling as well. All right, Stoke. Are we trolling a little bit? Are we trolling? And when I say that, it's you may say, well, what do you mean? Well, we'll explain next.
This is Steve.
Hi.
Steve loves manila folders.
It's true.
That's why he started a company supplying manila folders to large corporations.
In both white and eggshell.
What Steve doesn't love is spending time paying suppliers and browsing for loans. Luckily, First Bank offers time-saving treasury management tools and business loans, so you can spend more time with your passion, even if it's manila folders.
In both white and eggshell.
Okay, Steve. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Go to eFirstBank.com/business for more details.
I was listening to The Drive yesterday with Big Al and D-Mac from 3 to 6, as you should.
Like those tunes right there, Stephen.
What is this here?
Is that like 7 Mary 3? 3 days grace.
3 days
close
grace.
Close enough. I knew it was like three syllables there.
Yeah, bang, bang, bang.
Yep, knew it.
Listening to those guys. Oh, by the way, really quick, really, really quick, we're talking about the young stars in Denver. I said Gabe Landeskog, Nathan MacKinnon for the
Avs. Who'd you leave out?
Mikko Rantanen, who's leading the whole league in points and is only 22 years old.
Shame on you.
That's on me.
That's on you.
That's on me. Listening to The Drive yesterday, and I was listening to Alfred talk about the coach's game plan for the Broncos. Give this a listen.
They've given us a chance to win all of these games. So last 4 weeks, the Broncos coaching staff have given us great game plans, winning game plans. And, maybe you forgot the hottest team in the NFL, the Houston Texans. You know, if it wasn't for McManus miss, we have 4 wins in a row. I know we can't really do that, but gave us every chance in the world to be in a winning position in every game. Minus, I'm counting one. The Jets game, I don't like the game plan there. I thought it was a crappy game plan against the Jets.
Well, they weren't all that close to being the Ravens.
Well, I'm just, the game plan, though. I'm just talking about the game plan. Okay. I'm not talking about the execution. I'm talking about the game plan.
Alfred says that we are looking at some of the best game plans that we've had in some time. But yet, when we talk about Vance Joseph and we give him a bunch of credit, you know, our guy Raj, executive producer Raj, says sometimes it sounds like we're trolling, that we're giving him this much credit. We have Orlando Franklin stopping by here as well as he's just hanging around the studio. We pulled him in here. Stoke, we'll start with you, though. Do you agree that Vance Joseph and his staff are putting together very good game plans, as Alfred said?
You got to give them credit. Yes. I do. Give them credit for what the team's been able to accomplish and do and how they've executed in crucial situations. I don't know how much the game plans have like altered and been different. I mean, I love the game plan offensively against Seattle. I thought it was a great game plan. I loved how they were attacking. I loved how the ball was going down the football field. I didn't like the 3 interceptions from Case. But, yeah, you got to give this coaching staff a lot of credit for how they game plan. But ultimately, I give the most credit to the players for going out there and executing and making the plays when you have to have them. The Chargers game, Von Miller interception, had to have it. If we didn't get a turnover there, game was over. Same thing against the Steelers, right? We needed big plays in big moments. Chris Harris stepped up and had that interception, had to have it. So I give a lot of credit to the players for going out there and executing these game plans, but you also have to give these coaches a tremendous amount of credit for how they've had this team respond after the Houston game and how they've executed and played. And so if you want to say game plan, yeah, they've done a good job of game planning, and the players have done a great job of executing those game plans, because ultimately that's what it comes down to. How do you execute it?
Sure.
You can draw up whatever
sure.
you want, but if the guys don't go out there and execute it and do it the right way, then it doesn't matter.
Orlando, do you agree with the sentiment that Big Al laid out that, look, these are some of the best game plans we've had in a while? And if you do agree with that, do you think this coaching staff deserves even more credit?
Oh, absolutely. Definitely agree. Definitely think they deserve credit. Because what I saw against Seattle, what I saw against those earlier teams, was this Broncos offense was going in more of a zone scheme. You know, and I always got to talk offensive line, Zach. You know, that's what I play. So I watch the X's and O's. I'm watching the big fellas. What I've seen the last 4 weeks since that Houston game, when we started to have to put other guys in there because Ron Leary and those other guys weren't in being able to play, is they've went to more of a power scheme. They're pulling their guards. They're pulling these tackles. They're getting these guys in space. And it's benefiting this team. You know, I see the touchdown run with Phillip Lindsay. Yeah. You know, Billy Turner falls down. He does not even get a block, but he falls down, and he's trying to get back up on his feet. These guys are trying harder now. These guys are believing in these play calls. They're believing in their coaches and believing in Philip Lindsay back there, and they're getting it done. These guys are working their tails off each and every week. They have been – look at the other touchdown to Philip Lindsay on the toss, where you see Garrett Bowles actually be able to showcase that athletic ability 30 yards down the field. That wasn't being called in the first couple weeks of this season. The first half of this season, we weren't calling plays like that. So Bill Musgrave's doing a great job in just dialing it up week to week.
The offensive line that you do love to talk about, what differences are you seeing here since Max Garcia went down, since you got Billy Turner playing inside? Is it as dramatic when you look at it with the critical eyes that you have? Is it as dramatic as it's being made out to be?
Absolutely. I see guys out there fighting for a job, fighting for a place next year. You know, Elijah Wilkinson doesn't want to go back to sitting on the bench. Connor McGovern knew that he was a play away from never probably playing another football game and not starting for the Denver Broncos. Just getting it done at that center position. Billy Turner looks 100 times better than what he looked like when he played left guard for the Miami Dolphins. So I see guys that are out there just fighting each and every week and just fighting for a roster spot. Those guys are hungry, man. When I saw Ron Leary play, I thought Ron Leary was a lot more complacent. I don't think that Ron Leary will be back here next year. You know, I think his price tag is way too high, especially when you got these young guys that are always that are willing to play for less money but are getting the job done and a lot more hungry and not content in where they are. They don't see a ceiling above their head. They're going to continue to grind each and every week because they're trying to figure out their identity right now.
Last one for me about this offensive line for you, Connor McGovern playing center. It was being talked about this morning. The Broncos have a decision to make with Matt Paradis.
Yeah.
He goes down with an injury. Matt Paradis is rated like top five center by Pro Football Focus. Every week I see his name up leading up to the injury. It's a real decision they have to make here.
Yeah.
Are you leaning one way or the other? Do you pay Matt Paradis or do you continue to ride Connor McGovern and spend money elsewhere?
I want Matt Paradis to get paid. I played with him. I know where he has came from, you know, being drafted here, being put on practice squad that year and just fighting his tail off and becoming a starting center in this league and being reliable. I think Connor McGovern is doing a lot better job at the center position, but we saw him struggle last week in the passing game. And that's why I think Matt Paradis is an important piece to this puzzle. Because when you got a guy like Geno Atkins now and you're sliding into a blitz, we saw a lot of the leakage come up that middle this past week with Connor McGovern in there where we haven't seen that in the past. Matt Paradis has been a rock for this offensive line. He's been a very reliable person. He's been a person that you never really needed to worry about. Connor McGovern, he looks a night and day compared to when he was at that right guard position to the center position. But it's the little things. And I think that we saw the low snaps this past week with Connor McGovern. And rightfully so. When you're going against a defensive tackle that has 7 sacks in the league, is a top 10 in sacks in the AFC, you know, you're going to stress out a little bit. You're going to worry a little bit, especially when you got to block him one-on-one. But I didn't like what I saw this past week out of Connor McGovern with the ball being low. You got to get the ball up. You guys say it all the time. Ball security is job security. So he has to be able to get that up. And that's not something that we have not seen out of Matt Paradis this whole entire career starting here. He's always got the ball back to the quarterback right where he needs to get it. And, you know, that's valuable seconds. That's clock's ticking.
You're saying pay him.
Oh, pay him. Absolutely pay him.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, he provides that stability at the center position. And you can have Connor McGovern moving back to guard, or you can have him being the swing guy inside. And he's done a good job of filling in, obviously.
Not a bad backup plan.
That's right.
Not a bad backup plan. Orlando, thanks for stopping by. He's on Twitter at OFranklin74. He puts out these hikes every week, and you can join him. It's an open invite.
Yeah.
Still doing it?
On Saturdays.
Still doing it,
I saw
man.
You out there.
Well, we had a guy at Blake Street that was looking to wanted to get your autograph a few weeks ago, and I said, well, look him up, and he does the hikes. And
Come on out, man. Each and every week I post it on Twitter. I post it on my Instagram. It's at OFranklin74. Come check it out. I mean, honestly, We're 9 in. We got 41 more of these things to go because I dedicated myself to doing 50.
Wow.
And each and every week it just gets better and better. So come on out.
Awesome. Awesome stuff from Orlando Franklin there. Hit him up on Twitter and you can be a part of that if you want. All right, Stoke, up until about 3 weeks ago, we've been looking at nothing but nuclear options for the Broncos should things continue to go awry. But what if things continue to go well? What's next? That's next. You know, up until about 3 weeks ago, the only options on the table for the Denver Broncos were nuclear. Fire the coach. Draft another quarterback. Fire Joe Woods. I mean, everything was on the table. Even Nye's going to upstairs at Dove Valley. I mean, the conversations were plentiful. But how things have changed.
Well, I mean, you look at where they were. I mean, they were, I think, when you lose 6 out of 7, everything is on the table, right? I mean, you got to be critical of what's going on, especially after what happened last year. And I think that's all it was,
right.
Was, look, I mean, you got to be honest about the situation. It wasn't good. Now, obviously, they have turned things around quickly, and that's what can happen in the NFL. And we can't forget about that. I mean, we can look at our situation here, what a 3-game winning streak can do to your team and what it can do to your outlook. But also, look at Baltimore. I mean, just 3-4 weeks ago, we're talking about Harbaugh's out. There's a mutual separation. They're parting ways, and, you know, they're going to be – it's an amicable split. And, you know, should we bring Harbaugh here? That was a conversation. Should Harbaugh come here? Now they're on a 3-game win streak. They're in the playoff conversation. And, you know, Harbaugh for president in Baltimore or for mayor, whatever you want to, you know, that's kind of the nature of the NFL. You start winning football games, things change really quickly.
How about Bill O'Brien after 3 weeks?
There you go.
Hey, hot seat, Bunsen burner turned up.
Yep.
Bill O'Brien's days with the Texans are coming to an end.
Finally.
Longest win streak in the NFL. I mean, right? Like, it's crazy. And with the Broncos, we can talk about this schedule. If you said on September 8th, the day before the season started, September 8th, and you looked at the schedule, and I said, hey, what are the 3 hardest games that are going to be on your schedule? I would venture to say you would tell me the Rams, at the Chargers, and against the Steelers. And my how things change. And when we look ahead about what's next for this football team, we talked about how Vance would be canned and replacements at quarterback. Like I said, changes in personnel, all those types of things, assuming the season tanked out like it did last year. But let's just say, Stoke, things continue like they have been the last 3 weeks. Not even necessarily winning out, but if the team continues to look like this and they finish at 9-7, and the Broncos win, so we're at 3 in a row now. They win six of their last 7. Vance is back.
Yeah.
Slam dunk.
Yep. No conversation there.
Case Keenum?
Case is back, yeah. Case is coming back regardless of what happens here. Regardless. He is coming back.
I agree, but here's the second layer to that. I agree. Case is coming back. But do they?
You're so funny.
But do
we got the ESPN on, and so they're showing highlights of different games.
Right.
Good stuff.
Just pointing one of them out.
Yep.
Here's what may change. If you win 6 of 7 and Case is playing well, not turning it over, you're winning football games. Does John Elway still draft a quarterback in the first round like many mock drafts are having him do right now? And he's already gone out and looked at Herbert. He's gone out and looked at Drew Locke. Does that conversation shift if the Broncos win 6 of their last 7 under Case?
It doesn't shift at all.
Shift at all.
You're looking for a quarterback. You're looking for your future franchise quarterback. Okay. And it's not Case Keenum. You know, he's not that franchise top 10, top 5 quarterback. So you're going to look for that guy. And you're open to drafting that guy in the first round if he's available. If you identify the guy and you say, this is going to be our guy, yeah, you draft him in the first round. I don't care what Case looks like. But if you don't see that guy there, you don't have to panic. You take whoever, and then, you know, you evaluate the quarterback position. But if you see one available and you like him a lot, you take him. I don't care what round it is.
But, okay. So, Case is back. We both agree on that, right? Regardless, next year. I'm going to look ahead just for a second. I don't want to get in the habit of doing this, but just for a second. If the Broncos do win six of their last seven, and they finish 9-7 and miss the playoffs, you draft a quarterback in the first round. Case Keenum's still going to probably start next year, right?
He's possibly. You know, we'll see how it plays out. You got to evaluate it.
All right. Well, I would say that's more likely than not.
I would say so also.
Okay. So you've won six of your last seven. Case is back under center. There's more continuity. The offense has been fully homogenized. It's all blended together. And
homogenized?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like milk used to be separate. It would like separate into layers. You needed to shake it.
Oh.
Now on the side of the milk, it says homogenized. It's already together. It's already blended all up. So
the last time you tried to give me this kind of lesson, you were wrong.
What did I say?
I don't remember, but you were wrong. I do remember that.
So just go with me here for a second. Case Keenum's your starter week one. You're coming off finishing 6-7. You're 9-7, prospectively, at the end of this year. What if you're 10-6 and you make the playoffs under Case Keenum? What if you're 11-5 and you make the playoffs under Case Keenum?
Are you talking about next year?
Yeah.
You got to make tough decisions. Bye, Case. Let's go, young guy.
So you're 11-5, you're just in the playoffs.
I mean, now if he's balling out and he looks like this great quarterback, then you maybe try to work out an extension with him, but you probably move on from him. You know, kind of like Kansas City did with Alex Smith. Alex Smith had a great year last year. Well, Kansas City moved on because they had Patrick Mahomes. Sometimes you got to make those tough decisions and choices and hope that they work out the best possible way for you. And so I think that's what the situation would be for the Broncos. Now, obviously, you looked at Patrick Mahomes the whole year. You got a chance to look at him and evaluate him and say, okay, we think this guy's ready. And that's what you would do in the Broncos situation. Now, if you had a Paxton Lynch on your hand and you saw what we saw, then you know I could tell you, no, you're not going to turn it over to that guy. Okay, so now you got to reevaluate and maybe hold on to Case for a couple more years. So depends on what that guy looks like, but you would like to be able to turn it over to him and say, okay, let's go. You know, and have a seamless transition there, you know, kind of like you saw in Green Bay and you saw in Kansas City. And so
I really like your Kansas City example because Alex Smith should have been an MVP candidate.
Right.
And they won 10 games. They went to the playoffs. And he threw 26 touchdowns and only 5 interceptions, better than a 5-1 touchdown interception ratio. And they chose to move on.
Yep. I mean, it was a risky decision. Was the guy that hadn't played any football besides the one, you know, throwing game there against the Broncos, which was meaningless.
Right.
So didn't matter what he looked like really in that game. So that was a risky move by the Chiefs to get rid of a guy like Alex Smith that had been playing great football for him and had been there for a while and move on to an unknown. But they did it and it's paid off for him.
And it has.
So you're going to have to continue to look for that quarterback. And I think that's what we've learned here. You don't stop looking for that quarterback. You continue to draft guys. You know, every single year you probably should draft a quarterback. And it doesn't have to be first round, whatever, but you probably should draft one every single year.
I don't hate that. I don't hate that. I've heard other hosts suggest that, and I don't hate that. Because until you find your, and I hate what's about to come out of my mouth, okay? But until you find your Mahomes, you should probably keep looking.
Yep.
Even if what you have is good enough, i.e. Alex Smith.
Right. And even if you have that Mahomes, it wouldn't hurt to draft a guy every year. Now, I'm not drafting that guy in the first round. I'm looking, you know, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th round type of guy.
Right.
Right? So I would be open to drafting a quarterback every year, even if I had my guy. Because, look, you can turn around and flip them like
New England
Patriots.
Sure. Did it twice.
Exactly.
When did they draft Ryan Mallett? That wasn't the first round, was it? That was second round?
Second or third.
Yeah. And then Jimmy in the second round, right?
Jimmy in the second round.
It is very interesting when we talk about the dynamic of that position.
And then you look at, you know, Matt Cassel. When they had Matt Cassel, and Matt Cassel came in for Brady, and they were able to trade him at the end of the year and pick up a lot of great assets in draft capital for him.
Forgot about that. They went 11-5 with Matt Cassel, didn't they? and then missed the playoffs.
It was either 10-6 or 11-5 and missed the playoffs. Yep.
Because I think that was the year the Dolphins won it.
I don't know who won it. Yeah. But yeah. They missed the playoffs.
And it,
it's a shame. Same. yeah.
But really the fundamental reasoning for me bringing this up that, you know, it wasn't too long ago we were talking about blowing this whole thing up. The whole thing. Coach, coordinators, quarterback.
Oh, we're getting like Plummer and Cutler here. That's right. I just saw it on the RamosLaw.com text line. Very good. Right. Exactly. Like what happened there? You know, Plummer's a starter for the whole year, and then all of a sudden he's not. Let's go, Cutler. We're rolling with you. So, you know, you're not married to a guy. You're not married to Case Keenum. See how it plays out? But you even if he goes out and has a good year and a great finish here and they do really well and it doesn't matter. You're still going to be looking for that young next thing. And especially at the quarterback position.
And by the way, if they do go to that young next thing, Case Keenum gets it. He knows the deal. And I don't think that'll bear any pressure or outside influence on how he would play next year if the Broncos did decide to draft a Drew Lock. I mean, this is what this is old hat for Case.
Right. And he's gotten paid, and he knows his situation. He knows he's not a top, 10 quarterback. They're going to keep looking for the guy. So, but if you play good football, you know, if you're in Case Keenum's shoes, you're exactly right. He knows his situation. He knows the deal. But if he plays good football, whether it's he or somebody else or some other team, he's going to have a job. And that's the bottom line. Like, you know, I always knew my role. I wasn't the star. I wasn't that guy. They're always going to look to replace me, okay, with somebody else. And I played receiver, not quarterback, but I knew that was my position. That's where I stood. It wasn't Reggie Wayne or Marvin Harrison or, you know, Brandon Marshall or these great wide receivers. Sure. I was middle-of-the-road guy, and I just, you know, and just tried to perform well enough to where if this one team wanted to move on from me, somebody else would give me another opportunity. That's the same thing as Case Keenum. He's that type of role player.
I agree. But I'm still, and you'll laugh. you will laugh for the wrong reasons here. There is still a portion of me that wants to see more from Case Keenum. That's just how that he's winning.
You want to see more of Case Keenum as like more games. You don't want to you don't want to put him in a category. You want to
both.
What do you want here?
Both.
I mean, I'd like to see more Case Keenum too. I mean, I'd like to see better performance. I'd like to see more touchdowns. I mean, do we still need more time to gel?
Stop.
Huh?
Just stop.
Well, we might need more time to gel. We're only 12 games in. Maybe it's gelled now. Maybe these last four, now we'll start seeing the 3-touchdown, no interception games. The 2-touchdown, no interception games.
That's what you've been looking at. That's what you've been looking at.
What?
Be careful.
What have I been looking at?
No turnovers and throwing touchdowns.
Well, I said 3 touchdowns, no interception games, okay? Right, I know he hadn't been throwing interceptions, but he'd been throwing 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, 1 touchdown, no interception. He did have a 2-touchdown, no interception game. I got you. But I'm looking for the 3-touchdowns, Zach, no interception game. Okay, this isn't 1965. You can throw for 3 touchdowns really easily in 2018. With no interceptions. It happens all the time. I just want our quarterback to do it once. What?
No, that's fair. Look, that's fair. I'm not here to tell you that Case Keenum has been good enough. But what I am here to tell you is be careful what you wish for. Because how many teams around this league right now, like right now, week 13, week 14, I guess we're headed up on. Are we? No,
it's week 14.
Week 14. How many NFL fan bases around this league love their quarterback situation right now? Do the Dolphins love their quarterback situation?
Nope.
Do the Bengals love their quarterback situation?
Nope.
Do the Titans love their quarterback situation?
Probably not.
Do the Jags love their quarterback situation?
No.
How about no?
Do the Raiders love their quarterback situation?
No.
Do the Giants love their quarterback situation?
Nope.
Do the Redskins love their quarterback situation?
They just got two guys with like broken legs. No, they don't.
Do the Detroit Lions?
And they got
Lions...
Mark Sanchez as their quarterback. So right. That, you don't even need to ask that question. See the butt fumble part too?
Mm-hmm. The butt recovery.
Yeah, yeah. I was watching like the guy was celebrating. Like, get the ball. The ball's right there. And pretty cool redemption for Mark Sanchez.
If you grip the ball with your cheeks, is that possession?
I don't think so.
If the no, if you grip the nose. Do the Detroit?
I don't think that. No,
that's ugly, right?
Do the Detroit Lions love their quarterback situation?
Nope. And the fact, like some of these teams, you know, you're paying these guys a lot of money too. Like
when Stafford signed us, the richest contract
right.
ever.
Yeah, and he's throwing interceptions at a like historic pace here, like in crucial situations. Just there goes Stafford, and he fumbles the ball. I mean, they're down 16-13 with the ball in the fourth quarter.
I know,
with like 6-7 minutes to go. And all of a sudden, you know, Stafford tries to do a 180 out, and there comes Aaron Donald, like, fumble. You know, Sue tries to pick it up. He can't pick it up, but they recover it. Next thing you know, they win by, you know, 20 points. I mean, goodness.
The Falcons had the MVP 2 years ago in Matt Ryan. Are they happy with their quarterback situation? They're a 4-8 football team.
I blame their coordinator. That's one of the worst hires. And Dan Quinn probably will be pay the ultimate sacrifice for that awful hire of Steve Sarkisian.
Yep.
I mean, it's been an awful hire. I mean, there's no other way to spin it. You look at that football team, that offensive football team, we talked about it yesterday. Ridley, Julio, Sanu, Coleman. And we saw them here 2 years ago with Kyle Shanahan orchestrating that offense. It was as dynamic as it could be. Like, oh my goodness, look at this. They went to the Super Bowl. Yeah, they lost it. But, man, that was a high-flying offense. And now they can't score over 20 points. I mean, it is a...
Four consecutive games without scoring over
18. You got to change there. And I think you just... Everybody's got to go.
Are the Buccaneers happy with their quarterback? Are they in love with their quarterback scenario?
They might be now. Jameis is figuring things out. But, no, they're not. They're not in love, no.
It's about three good games in a row.
Yeah.
And it deserves credit. But up until this point, they were questioning whether they were going to pick up the fifth-year option on the number one overall pick in the draft.
Yep.
There's not a lot of
teams that are in love with their quarterback situation, too, because you see, you know, some of these guys have gotten paid, you know, like Derek Carr and Stafford and Tannehill. And, I mean, they've gotten paid, but, you know, when you pay guys and they don't perform at a very high level, it's not worth it.
Right.
Now you're suffering. Right? Now you're paying the price for these big contracts and these guys are underperforming.
Or not paying the price at other positions that you should be able to,
absolutely.
But you can't.
Absolutely.
If you were starting a football team today and you needed to win over the next 5 years, what quarterback would you pick?
Starting a franchise today.
And it's just a five-year window. What quarterback would you pick?
Let me give you a rundown. Can I give you a rundown here? And then just kind of work it through my head that way. I like doing that. It makes it better for me.
Okay.
So I don't just... Sometimes my mouth just gets in the way and I just say a name. And I was like, oh, no, I wanted this guy. So I like to break it down a little bit.
You're starting a franchise today.
So I got, Carson Wentz is up there for me. Jared Goff. Obviously, you got Aaron Rodgers, Aaron. Who am I missing here? Drew Brees
Mahomes.
Is too old. Patrick Mahomes is one. Dak Prescott, no thank you, but thank you, though.
No thank you, but thank you, though.
Yep. Mitchell Trubisky, is he? I'll just throw him on the list. Just to add another name. Kirk Cousins, right? Got to throw him on the list.
Your
just
list.
Put him on the list.
Your list.
Okay, well, thank you. Cam Newton, I'm putting Cam Newton on the list.
Yikes.
I mean, he's on the list.
All right.
He's on the list.
All right.
I mean, the guy was an MVP a few years ago. He's not 40.
You throw Matt Ryan on there? He was the MVP the year after Cam. No?
He's
more recent MVP.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Have you seen him?
Uh-huh. Have you seen Cam the last month?
Yeah. It hasn't been good.
Mm-mm.
But have you seen Matt Ryan the last 2 years?
Yes.
Okay.
You're just blaming that on the coordinator, though.
That's my list. That's my list.
All right.
I'm going to put Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson is on the list. Russell Wilson is definitely on the list.
It's your list.
Right. Well, you could have thrown him out there to give me a little help here. Jimmy Garoppolo could have made the list, but he's been injured this whole year. He looked like he was trending on this type of list, but not so much. So we got Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Trubisky, Cousins, Newton, Deshaun Watson, and Russell Wilson. Okay? I'll just break it down right now. We'll start taking guys off the list.
Okay.
And that's how you find your guy.
This is taking way longer than I thought.
Oh, really?
But keep going. Just keep going.
Is it not good?
No.
Well,
no.
We don't have to do it then.
No. We're already here.
We're already halfway in. Let's go. Cam Newton's off, okay? Kirk Cousins is off. Mitchell Trubisky's off. I'm going to slash Deshaun Watson off the list. So I'm left with Wentz, Goff, Rodgers, Mahomes, Russell Wilson. How old is Aaron Rodgers, please? Can we get that updated real quick?
Sure.
Aaron, like 34. Okay.
Is he that old already?
Yeah, he's getting up there. So I'm going to take, gosh, I love Carson Wentz. I really do. I really love him a lot. But I'm going to go with Patrick Mahomes. From what I've seen in his first year of starting, I'm going to go with him. He's mobile. He doesn't try to run too much. He's got a dynamic arm. He just seems to find a way to make plays. I'm going to go with Patrick Mahomes. That was tough. I mean,
that did not go the way I thought it was going to go.
Oh, no. it probably came down to Mahomes. You know, the final four, Mahomes, Wentz, Goff, and Russell Wilson.
That's a good list, and I would have probably got to the same place that you did, only I would have picked Aaron Rodgers. If I have to win over the next 5 years, I want that experience. He's still very much in his prime. What I wanted to do, I screwed the whole thing up. No, it was me for leaving it that open-ended.
Yeah, you leave it like that, you just never know what I'm going
to
do with it.
I wanted to say, hey, if you're starting a franchise, you need to win over the next 5 years, who do you grab? And I wanted you to say Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, sorry. Well, you should have told me that before. Say Aaron Rodgers.
It's on me.
Yeah.
It's on me.
Okay.
And then my response was going to be 4-7. And just to illustrate, going through the whole league.
I haven't seen great, you know, he has his special moments, but like that, he has the moments to last, like, really? Like, you're 4-7 this year? I don't know. There's sometimes just some hesitations with Aaron Rodgers for me. And I know everybody says he's the next best quarterback, this and that. I'm just like, I see moments with Aaron Rodgers that just has me not all in with him.
What I wanted to say there is there's only about 6 or 7 teams in the NFL that love their quarterback situation. And then the rest of the league is sort of buying time with the guy they have and still have a wandering eye.
Yeah.
So the Broncos aren't that dissimilar.
No.
They're really not.
And they're paying this guy, you know, they're not paying him like Stafford.
He's the 18th highest paid quarterback in the league.
There you go. So they're getting a good bang for their buck, especially lately.
Especially lately. Now, we have decimated John Elway over bad picks, fairly. But is it time for us to walk one of those picks, at least one in particular, way back? Possibly. It's next.
This is Steve.
Hi.
Steve loves manila folders.
It's true.
That's why he started a company supplying manila folders to large corporations.
In both white and eggshell.
What Steve doesn't love is spending time paying suppliers and browsing for loans. Luckily, First Bank offers time-saving treasury management tools and business loans, so you can spend more time with your passion. Even if it's manila folders.
In both white and eggshell.
Okay, Steve. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Go to eFirstBank.com/business for more details.